reading this morning, Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 16. Now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. That's hard to imagine, but there you go. By faith, Abel brought God better offerings than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land Jesus had promised, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as Isaac did, and Jacob, who were heirs with him of that same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they have been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a wonderful reading. You know, and God has prepared that same city for everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Before I open up the word, which I've entitled this morning, Why Faith is Important, let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that your faith is a gift that we can all have through the blood of your Son and accepting his gift of grace, his redeeming power. So Lord, I just pray that you will open up your word to us this morning. Build up our faith, Lord. Make us strong in the faith so that we can please you, because that's what we want to do. And that's what you want of us. You want the love of your children. And Lord, we do love you. So Lord, just be with me now as we look into your word, and let us hear what you've got to say to each one of us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, What is faith then? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's one thing to talk about faith, it's quite another to act upon it. Do you have faith? Do I have faith? Do we have faith? You know, the other thing we need to ask ourselves, is my faith strong or is it weak?
Yes.
Is it strong or is it weak? And if we need to, what steps can we take to make it stronger?
Yes.
Well, we need to recognize how important our faith is. And if we exercise it, how it can help us in our daily struggle with everything that we want and can be in Christ. Today, I simply want you to fully understand what faith is. And there isn't just one easy way to define it. This morning, I want us to consider five different statements that are derived from this part of Hebrews chapter 11. The first part is, faith is, as we were told in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, uncertain of what we do not see. So believing is, even when we don't see it, we believe because God has promised it. It sounds like a contradiction, but the Bible teaches us that faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's being sure of what you don't see. It is seeing it in advance. You know, men say seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing. There is a subtle difference there. You know, when we think about what we've got, the advances we've made in this world, the advances in medicine, technology, communications, and yet when we look at the way the world is going, we're getting closer to the end times. You know, people are getting further away from God than what they have been in years gone by. They're becoming lovers of themselves. And when you mention God, everybody truly either shuns, turns off, or walks away. At one time, we used to have prayers to open public meetings in our colleges and schools. You had prayer times, assemblies in the morning. But now, in lots of places, they are against the law. The law has been made to take God out of meetings. And there was one story of a young girl who was sitting in her school reading her Bible in America. And the head came and told her to take it home and not to bring it back, that she wasn't allowed to read the Bible in school. Yet she could take in Harry Potter and read it to her heart's content. Now that says a lot, doesn't it? But I digressed a little bit there. But I do apologize. But I thought it was worth sharing with you. You know, faith is simply trusting God to turn his promises into reality. Because nothing will happen, nor can it, until somebody believes it's possible. You know, what do we see in our own future? What do we see in our dreams? What's impossible for us is not impossible for God. And what is God going to do? Because he's got a purpose for each one of us. What is he going to do in each of our lives? You know, we need to have faith that it's going to happen for it to actually mature. For instance, if we don't envisage what's going to happen, how are we going to have a vision at all? What is your vision for this church, for instance? What can we be sure of? What can we know for certainly that with God's help that we can do to promote this church in this village? I tell you, I can see by faith that he has plans to fill the pews in this church. It's hard to vision it when you look, but he has filled this church before. This church has been bursting at the seams before. And you know, I can see that God will do the same again. As times get harder, people may be drawn back to the one source of joy that we can have. I see this church ministering to hundreds and reaching the people of Coningsby for Jesus. You know, that can only happen if we carry out the second point this morning, which is obeying even when we don't understand it. When will it happen, you may ask? It'll happen in God's good time. When we as a church are ready to cope and meet the task, and he has provided us with all of the essentials that we need. And as you can see from this church, from the age, we need a lot of fresh young blood. And we've got two young bloods here today. One sitting at the back who read for us this morning. Thank you, Daniel, for that. And the other one is just a lovely little child of God who's enjoying herself and spending her time. Now, as a child, I'm sure your parents told you to do some things that you didn't want to do. Something that didn't make sense to you at that time. Then later, with maturity and hindsight, you come to realize that mum and dad weren't really stern, they were very wise. They were wise in what they say. And that's the way that God is with each one of us. Some people think of God as being stern. He's righteous, and he'll be stern when he needs to be, just as our parents were, or seemed. But you know, he is a loving God. He loves each one of us. That brings me on to the third point. And note, I want to make a caveat here. I'm not speaking as the treasurer here. It's giving when you can least afford it. Did you know that faith is giving when you don't have it to give? Giving and faith go together. In fact, I believe that God can use our finances to test us at times. Have you ever had to make a decision whether you pay a bill or give to a charity or a tithe? Could God be testing us to see how much we trust him in his promise to meet our provision? Here are two ways that you can give. You can either give by faith, or you can give by fear. Giving by fear is when you say, how much can I afford to give? How much of my time can I afford to give? How much of my finances? How much of my love can I afford to share with others? And then you can give by faith when it says, how much does God want me to give? Whether it be of your time, of your love to others, or your finances. And he doesn't consider whether you've got enough or not. Because if you do what he wants you to do, he will make provision for you to be able to meet his will. And that's what faith is all about, is trusting him to do what he promised. In Hebrews 11:4b, we are told, by faith Abel was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. So let's just have a quick recap so far. Faith is doing the right thing even when it seems absurd. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Second, faith is believing when you don't understand it. And thirdly, as we've just covered, faith is giving when you can least afforded. Bring us on to the fourth point, persisting when we don't feel like it. In today's culture, people base everything they do on how they feel. You hear about all these feelings, oh, I don't feel like doing this. Why didn't you go to church last week? Well, I didn't feel up to it. I didn't really feel like going. When you go to Bible class, I didn't feel like going. Why did you go to school today? I didn't feel like going. More attractive going playing with mates. But that's the way of the world today. If they don't feel like doing it, they don't do it. Or if they feel like doing it, yeah, well, we'll do it. And the more that says about someone is how mature they are spiritually. You know, that's a guarantee for failure in spiritual maturity. When we lead our life based on how we feel, we can end up being manipulated by our mood swings. And we all know what our moods can be like from time to time. It doesn't take much to unbalance us and send us swinging around, as they say, mood swings. That's why they call it mood swings, because we swing about, get blown about by the wind. We can be upbeat 1 minute and down the next. The real mark of spiritual maturity is when we live our lives by our faith and our commitments rather than by our feelings. The truth is, we don't always feel like doing what is right, do we? I know I don't always feel like being nice. I don't always feel like spending time with my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. I don't always feel like praying or reading God's word. We have all been there, and we've got to admit that. You know, but the issue is not what do we feel, but what do we do? Do we do the right thing? I hope we do. We get repent to the Lord and say sorry for being a rebel. As we said this morning, we can all be rebellious, and asking for his forgiveness and do the right thing. It's important that we recognize that successful people do what most people don't feel like doing. And that's how they become successful. Successful people don't simply develop habits. They spend time developing and thinking about things that unsuccessful people don't. Unsuccessful people don't feel like developing their talents, like using their time wisely. They would rather go out drinking, dancing, doing anything rather what was going to be of most value to them. Being persistent, they don't want to be. But you've got to be persistent to sharpen your skills. You won't become a good footballer or a good golfer or any other discipline if you don't practice when you don't feel like it. It's got to be a routine if you want to excel at any discipline you're required to practice despite your feelings. Super salesmen don't just make calls when they're in a mood, because they'd miss a lot of calls. They're on the phone all the time, annoying people. I know. And godly men and women don't get that way just by feeling it. Instead, they develop some habits in their lives, some disciplines. Most important, in like having a time with God each day. And they do it whether they feel like it or not. And that pleases God. You know, I can almost hear you now asking, you mean even if I don't feel like doing it, spending time with God pleases him? Yes. Why? Because you're doing it in faith. And it's our faithfulness which pleases God. Believing when we don't see it, obeying when we don't understand it, and giving when we don't have it, and persisting when we don't feel it. That's faith. Faith is being persistent. It's refusing to give up, no matter how tired we may feel, or any other distractions. You might like to take a note of this. We can only accomplish the impossible when we see the invisible. If we keep our eyes on God, He'll give us the power to keep on keeping on. The fifth point I want to look at is trusting in God's provision before you receive it. Now, Noah is a good example, as we read here from Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Powerful. You know, when you think, it took something like 120 to 140 years to build that ark. It's a long time to be doing something when there's no sign of rain, because at that time there was no rain on the earth. The earth was watered from beneath. You know, but he had the faith, he had the vision, and he trusted what God had told him to do. Faith is thanking God in advance. It's believing that God is already doing it in the presence. That's the answer. The answer to our prayer is always yes and amen. And it's always on the way. Let's look what Scripture tells us in Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. You notice the past tense? Believe that you have received it. That's faith. Believe you've received it. You know, if you wait until you've received it and then thank God for it, is that faith? Or is that simply gratitude? Now, gratitude's all right, but it won't get you to heaven. But faith will. Faith is thanking God in advance for His goodness. Faith is believing when we don't see it, obeying even when we don't understand it, giving when we can least afford it, persisting when we don't feel like it, and trusting in God's provision before we receive it. You know, in the passage that we've read this morning, in verse 4, we learned it by faith. Abel was considered to be faithful. In verse 5, Enoch was considered to be faithful. In verse 7, Noah. And in verse 8, Abraham, in verse 11, Sarah, they were all found to be faithful simply because they believed the impossible. Can you imagine what it was like? Like, Sarah is probably one of the hardest things. A woman, I can imagine, wanting to have a child, getting into her 90s, and then being told, this time next year, you will have a son. You know, to believe that. But she had faith because she knew who had promised it. And we know who is promising things to us. So if God is asking you to do anything, please take hold, listen, and step out in faith. Don't worry that, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. Because the Lord will provide all that you need to meet His calling. He will never leave you wanting for anything. If you had asked me 20 years ago, would you fancy preaching in the church? I would have laughed at you. You know, but the Lord is laughing at me now because He knew what I'd be doing. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for being gentle with me and for using me. You know, some of us may be here today trying to face full-time problems on part-time faith, and that just won't work. No, we need full-time faith, head-on, born-again faith, to handle the problems that we are going to encounter. And make no mistake, just because you've got God's ear and God loves you doesn't mean to say that you won't have problems. You will have problems all the time. In fact, the closer you get to God, it seems the more the problems come, because Satan is more determined. You're a bigger target and he will come after you. But you know, if you've got faith in the promises, you know that you're in this world, but you're not off it. And the victory has already been won. And you're not part of this world. You're in the world, but you're not off it. And you said, your home is in heaven. I've shared it with Rob during the week, and I think Linda at Bible study. There was an American couple who had been missionaries out in Africa for 40 years. And this was in the day when people traveled by ship because airplanes weren't really used a lot. And they were returning to America for the first time in 40 years. And on the ship was President Roosevelt, who was returning from a hunting trip in Africa. And when they got to the harbor in New York, there was bands out and people out to welcome back the president. And the husband of the couple felt really disheartened. And they went to the hotel over on the east side of New York. And he was really sad. And the wife said to him, "What's up with you?" He says, "I just can't understand it. We've been doing the Lord's work for 40 years and come home and no welcome. Yet here's the president been out there hunting trip back and everybody's out to welcome him." She says, "Well, there's no point in getting on with me. Go into the bedroom and take it to the Lord." So he went in and he prayed and he came back out and his face was alive and he was smiling. And the wife says, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, I told the Lord as you asked me to, and he seemed to put his hand on me. And he says, "Well, John," he says, "you know why there was no one there to welcome you?" He says, "Why?" He says, "You're not home yet." You know, and it's true. We've got to know where your home is. And your home is not in this world. Don't be chasing OBEs and MBEs and all the rest of it, because they won't go with you. You know? Just trust in the Lord and don't despair. God has planned, and He has plans for us, and He's establishing a relationship with us, and we need to put our trust in Him and in Him alone. We need to understand what it says in verse 6 of the chapter we've read, explaining why faith is important. And it reads, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Now, if you're earnestly seeking the Lord, then you will get these promptings, and your faith is what you need to see you through. And I make no apologies for quoting a favourite of mine, old Jeremiah 29:11-13, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And the last bit of scripture I'm going to leave you with before I close is from Romans 10:17, which won't be on there because it was an addition that I put on this morning. And it reads, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God." And that's where you need to go. Anytime you've got a problem, anytime you're feeling that your faith could do with a boost, because our faith is the power that drives us. It's the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that he's put within us. And we need to exercise that faith if it's going to grow. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving God and you have got plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. And Lord, our hope and our future is to be with you. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we come into your presence, whether it's when you call us up from the ground into the air, or whether you call us from the grave. It makes no difference, because we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be like you. Face to face we will see you. And Lord, there'll be no false teeth, hearing aids, walking sticks, limbless people. We will all be fit and healthy, and we will be able to praise you and sup with you and enjoy your company for the rest of eternity. And Lord, we just say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.